The award-winning Dansfield Gershwin musical An American in Paris ended its critically acclaimed Broadway run on Sunday at the Palace Theater, having played 623 performances. The musical's national tour opens at Proctor's Theater in Schenectady on Friday, starring Garen Scribner and Sarah Esty. The new stage incarnation of the classic Gershwin film arrived on Broadway after a Paris world premiere. The musical, inspired by the Oscar-winning film of the same name, features a score by George Gershwin and Ira Gershwin and a book by Craig Lucas. An American in Paris received 12 Tony nominations, winning awards for Best Choreography, Orchestrations, Set Design, and Lighting Design. We are thrilled to have producer Stuart Oaken with us this morning. He leads Elephant Eye Theatrical, whose projects have included The Addams Family, Saved, and Venice. As executive VP at Disney Theatrical, he produced The Lion King and Aida. He produced the motion pictures About Last Night, Impromptu, and Queen's Logic. And it's a great pleasure to have him here at the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
So great to be here. Thank you.
A pleasure. So at what point do you start thinking when you put a show up like this, we're gonna have a road company of this?
Well, when we begin the project like this, we hope there will be a
sure.
road company. That's one of the spoils of a successful Broadway engagement. So when you start a production, which this one started about 5 years before it even opened on Broadway, it's always in your plans. You know you've got one after a couple of months on Broadway when you can see that you have resonated and the show seems to be working and there's demand for it from the rest of the road presenters around the country.
So the show ends on Broadway on Sunday. Now, you already have been ensconced in the beautiful Proctor's Theater working on the national tour, which I guess officially begins in Boston. Is that right? But the Schenectady run is the...
Yeah, that's the verbiage, mostly because people need to remember that we need to do it a half a dozen times
yes.
at least, and to get the kinks worked out. It's all brand new. It's not like we're picking something up and continuing it. We're starting it with 35 new people and a new physical production, and it's hard. So we just want a little time to kind of sweetly kind of make it gel.
How long have you been in town working on this?
I think the physical production load-in started about 5 weeks ago, and the company's now been here about 2 weeks.
Wow. And for you as producer, day-to-day, what are you doing?
Well, that's a great question. You know, when you start a new show as the lead producer, my role, because there are different
sure.
roles, but my role was to envision the production, acquire the material, put together the creative team, and then gently guide the creative team to do their best work. Often you do this as a producer and it doesn't turn out the way you hoped it would, or something changes along the way and it's your job to change with it and try to keep as close to the original vision as you began. But in the case of American in Paris, it was a bold vision that we had, which was to take the kind of classic Gershwin film, rethink it in terms of a seriousness that Hollywood didn't have about post-World War II life in France in 1950 when the movie was made, and kind of put it through the lens of what we know now about what the French went through, what the American soldiers went through, and what it would have meant to bring the world from darkness back to light. So that was a thing that, as a producer, I needed to do. The other key one was that because American in Paris was so dance-driven as a film and known for that famous ballet at the end of the movie,
yeah.
I had to bring the same quality of art to the dancing. And we were able to accomplish that by bringing in the great choreographer Christopher Wheeldon and allowing him to make his directorial debut. And when those two things clicked and worked, we were off and running. So that's what we did for 5 years before we opened on Broadway. To answer your question, post-Broadway, now it's my job to see that the show continues to live in various places and forms as long as possible and mm-hmm. stays at the same high quality that we created in New York.
Is it the same with the original Broadway cast? So many members of the cast came from ballet, came from a very strong dance background, as compared to a Broadway background with dance. Is that the same here?
It is exactly the same. I would say it's both, though.
Yes.
I'd say that, you know, because our show has tap and jazz and old-fashioned Broadway, but it also has classic ballet, that we needed people we called the quadruple threats, which is actor, dancer, singer, and go on point.
Yes.
You know, which is very rare. And to do that, we do have a real combination of people who are classically trained in ballet, but can also do the more contemporary tap jazz world. And then we have people from that world that can also do an aspect of the ballet as well. So it's a real combination. But I'll tell you that the cast in this production is as strong as our Broadway company. They're spectacular.
Talk a little bit about the look. The one thing that struck me when I saw the show when it first opened on Broadway is just how lush and gorgeous a show it is. You don't want to close your eyes, and everything, certainly that's the choreography, but everything works. The set design, everything works, and it is just a striking, beautiful show. And I'm not taking away from the story, I'm not taking away from the music, but just to look at it is so gorgeous.
Well, thank you. I mean, that credit goes absolutely to the full creative team. I mean, the vision for the show is Chris Wheeldon's.
Yes.
The way it moves, the fact that the scenery moves as if it's being choreographed. That's a real vision of the director. But we have the greatest design team in the world. We have 7-time Tony winner Bob Crowley, who did the sets and the costumes. We have a Tony winning 59 Projections that did our projections. We have Natasha Katz that is a 5-time Tony winner who did the lighting. So we were able to put together really the creme de la creme and gave them the challenge to put Paris on stage in a way you haven't seen it before. And I think what you've referenced, which is the seamlessness of the way the show kind of dances and sings and looks, is one of the great accomplishments of this production, and it really is, it's their triumph.
Your tour, which again starts here in Schenectady, then Boston, Buffalo, Hartford, Philadelphia, Greenville, West Palm Beach, Orlando, Tampa, and Miami, just to bring you to the end of the year, and then you start moving west. The fact that you can go into these towns, they may not know the show, but they certainly, I mean, you're coming in with somewhat of a known quantity, and even with Broadway, right? When you went in, people know, have an idea of what they're getting here.
You know, that's a great question. I think the answer is, to some extent, yes, and to some extent, no. And to some extent, that's a good thing, and to some extent, that is not a good thing.
I understand that.
The movie was 65 years ago.
Yes.
So the people that know it are a little bit longer in the tooth, like me.
But it's still a classic. I mean,
it is.
It's still a classic.
But if you're not a theater geek, and you're not watching AMC, and you're not,
okay,
you know,
I'll give you that.
You know, the music may be known in a way that the film itself is thought of as maybe an iconic title,
yes.
But it did win the Academy Award, but it was 1951. The other thing is that people tend to think the musical is a revival, because they say, well, I've heard of that, I must have seen that.
Right.
And that's not true. This musical was never on stage, and what we've put on stage is not the movie. It's inspired by the movie. It has a lot of the same characters and material as the movie, but as I said a minute ago, we were able to rethink it in terms that I think make it far more relevant, and it allows it to share kind of what the classic age of Broadway musicals was. When you think of great shows like West Side Story or Carousel or Oklahoma, South Pacific, the great Rodgers and Hammerstein collaborations, that where the stories were about something,
mm-hmm,
and they were also emotional, and they physically danced and sang and acted, and where everything was really integrated, we set out to make a musical that fit into that mold. And you don't get to do that with a new musical very often anymore.
Serious question. So you are, 5 years ago, you're working on this project, and you, I would assume, someone have your blinders on as to what everyone else is doing. Then you arrive on Broadway, and you're like, oh, right, we're up against Hamilton. So does that something that How do you look at that? Is that nothing? Because obviously it has an impact on the awards that you will win. But does it benefit because so many people are coming into New York to see live theater?
That's another great question. Fortunately for us, we were in the season before Hamilton.
Yes.
So we did not have to compete with them.
But you're not up against them.
We were not. But I can tell you the day we rehearsed at a studio in New York on 42nd Street called the New 42nd Street Studios. And Hamilton had opened off Broadway in the year before. And they were contemplating moving to Broadway immediately or waiting. And the entire building that was in rehearsal that day took a collective sigh of relief when we found out they were going to wait to the following season, because we all knew that Hamilton was going to be a juggernaut. So it at least gave us a certain clearance on our year, and we didn't have to compete with them. And, you know, competition is a strange thing anyway, because we're so not Hamilton and they're not us, that I think the quality of our production and the quality of Hamilton are kind of, they hold their own equally, but Hamilton is a phenomena, and we recognize that. The other question you've asked is, what's the impact on Broadway of Hamilton? I think that the good part is that it makes Broadway relevant again. It's made people understand once again that something really fresh and inspiring and surprising can come out of Broadway. On the other hand, it sucked an awful lot of air out of the community, because it's so pervasive. It's so much the number one dog in town that I think, you know, if you can't get a Hamilton ticket, maybe you don't go. Or maybe you spend so much for your Hamilton ticket that you're not going to three other shows. So I think it's been good and bad. I think it's certainly good long term for the theater. And the other thing is, Hamilton's fantastic. I mean, it's just a great, great show. So, you know, I know it's good for the theater. I think probably as a producer, it might have been a little better for me if it was a few years later than it came out.
Because originally you were looking to keep this open until the end of the year. You ended up closing it a couple months early. So, I mean, did that factor into it of you're taking up a lot of real estate, and obviously there's other shows to move in?
You know, not literally, but yes, in a sense that, you know, when you do a show that's as successful as ours was creatively, and where every night is cheering in the theater,
right,
you expect that maybe you could run it a couple of years. We have had a really rough year on Broadway, not just us. All of Broadway's had a tough year. I think the election has something to do with it. I think the strength of the dollar has something to do with it. I think the cost of theater tickets has something to do with it. So, you know, there are many factors, but Hamilton's success is one of them, and it belongs in the conversation.
I just realized I have about 8 billion more questions for you. Do you mind staying on for a few more minutes?
Oh, it'd be my pleasure.
Excellent. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we will continue our conversation with Stuart Oaken, who is a producer of An American in Paris, which opens on Friday night at Proctor's Theater in Schenectady, New York. And you can find out more information about the run by going to proctors.org. We will continue our conversation after this short break. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our conversation with producer Stuart Oaken. We're talking about An American in Paris, which runs at Proctor's Theater, starting its national tour in Schenectady on Friday. And you can find out more information by going to proctors.org. I've asked Stuart if he could stay on for a few more minutes. We are going to, if you're listening in for Congressional Corner, we're going to run Congressional Corner in 1 hour from now at 11:50 this morning. So we will still hear it. We'll just hear it 1 hour later. Okay, so let me ask you about one thing that you mentioned right before we went to break was ticket prices. And is that as much of an issue for you? I mean, I assume it's always an issue, but is it as much for an issue for you when you go on the road?
Generally not. The prices are substantially less on the road, and the prices are geared to the markets themselves. So I think people are not as startled by the ticket price. A show like Hamilton goes on the road, though, and with dynamic ticket pricing may find that those prices are substantially higher when it gets to a market. But for the most part, we fit the model of you'll get pretty much the pricing you expect to get at the Proctors.
I'm going back to Broadway now, but is you know, $600, $250, I mean, is that too much for a date night?
I guess it depends how much money you have, but, you know, for most people it is.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, what were your, I assume you did premier seating, most mm-hmm. shows do now. So what were your top ticket price was?
Well, I think at $1.275, okay. $225. But, you know, the thing is that you can always get a ticket for below.
Absolutely.
Not only that, but below even the standard ticket price, because almost every show has some tickets that are discounted and available, you know, just as much as there are always premium seats. So you try to live in that world of dynamic pricing where you don't lose a sale because someone can't pay more. And the people that want the absolute best ticket on tonight and they want to buy it for tonight pay more.
Right. And part of that was done as instead of the ticket scalpers and other people getting the money, that the theater is actually offering the tickets and it would come
yes.
in and say, okay, we'll get that.
That's
now.
Part of it. That it, literally, I mean, it helps the artists get compensated fairly instead of the money going to brokers.
Right.
It can't stop that, though, still. Brokers still exist.
And it's like, I remember reading in the New York Times years ago of they showed a seating chart of an airplane and saying, you know, this passenger paid $78 and this passenger paid $482. It does go all over the board.
It does, but much less so, I believe, on the road.
When you bring a show like this on the road, and I mean, obviously you're all professionals and you know what you're doing, but it is. I mean, it's bringing the circus to town, isn't it?
Yeah, people don't realize exactly what goes on backstage, and the backstage aspect is a show into itself. I'll tell you as an anecdote. 2 weeks ago, I watched our show from the stage right side of the stage house backstage. There are 75 people working the show between the actors and stagehands and stage managers. It is a ongoing. The show begins backstage. They say ready, set, go, and it stops 2.5 hours later. Everybody is doing something every minute, and for us to move from the rehearsal room into actual performance. So we rehearsed for 5 weeks in New York in a studio with the actors before we came and got right. the show in great shape. But what we do here is learn everything else. And we build a company of artists that really know how to put this show on day in and day out. And that's a really complicated process.
Sidebar, but Proctor's, beautiful theater.
Beautiful right? theater, great home, great environment for us. You know, Philip Morris runs an extraordinary operation. Because I know Philip, I've also learned a lot about what Philip does in this region beyond Proctor's.
Absolutely.
And in Albany, and he's doing in Saratoga. And I think it's one of the great success stories for a performing arts center.
Well, and certainly for us in this area, and especially being so close to New York, that we have a place where this new work is coming and the tour is starting here. I mean, that's
yeah.
pretty exciting.
Well, the state of New York has created a tax incentive for producers to begin shows in this state, which is very attractive. And we love being in New York because we're a train ride away
right.
from where our center of operations
Absolutely.
Are. So, and we get people who understand the theater here. It's not like your audiences are kind of need to be indoctrinated.
Right.
They love the theater and they get the theater. And I know that they want to see a show like this. So we're coming into very friendly territory.
I mentioned, we were talking about the juggernaut that is Hamilton, but you were part of the juggernaut that was Lion King. I mean, it still is Lion King.
Lion King's a remarkable show. I was very fortunate to be running Disney Theatrical at the time that the Lion King set out its life. And I remember my boss at the time said, it happens once in your life. And it's true. I mean, even for Disney, who's had a lot of success so far, there's really only been one real Lion King. And it's a remarkable show. It was a remarkable film before it became a remarkable stage show. And then it had the brilliance of Julie Taymor and the underlying African music joined to the Elton John, Tim Rice pop score. And it just works on every level of theater.
I guess, and there's, I think there was probably many in the theater community who looked at it and said, oh boy, Disney's coming to town. They're going to put somebody in a lion suit, and here we go. And that's not what you did at all. And so it became a real quality, beautiful production. And there again is, I mean, it was just played Proctor's this past season. So it's still very much a part of our theater world.
I'm afraid, or I guess I should be happy, that Lion King will go on.
Yes.
I don't see why it will end. There's new audiences being born every day.
Now and forever.
Now and forever. I've heard that on something else before. But, you know, the philosophy of Lion King, which really was marrying kind of a nonprofit, cutting-edge artist like Julie Taymor to kind of this classic Disney film, is not unlike adding Christopher Wheeldon, a world-class choreographer, into a commercial-esque American in Paris, and having that combination create sparks that are unique in ways that people in the theater go, I've never quite seen anything like that before.
You will have the original cast goes to London in
no,
March.
No, there'll be a new company in London.
New company? New star? The two leads?
Just the two leads.
Two leads
who open Broadway will open London. And the two leads that have most recently appeared on Broadway are heading up the tour, Garen Scribner and Sarah Esty, who are spectacular. And as much as I love Robbie Fairchild and Leanne Cope, they don't take a back seat. This is a really first-rate production.
And you'll be on tour for how long?
Right now till the, I think, fall of 2018.
Yeah. So that's a lot for you. And how often will you, as producer, kind of dip in, dip out?
I think I will probably show up every 4 to 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it depends. We'll be in London. We're opening a new company in London.
Yep.
In March of 2017. So I'm going to be there for several months. But I'm a kind of producer that kind of pays close attention. There are producers that do different things, like I said, but I'm one who actually
write checks,
does kind
checks.
Of, well, there are those. Yes. But I'm kind of involved, and I love the show. I mean, I have to say, I'm not a kid anymore. I've been doing it a long time, and making this show is the highlight of my career.
In the 30 seconds we have left, is there another show on the horizon for you?
I think right now, no. I think American in Paris is about as good as it gets, and I'm going to see to it that it stays as strong and beautiful as it possibly can, and we're going to do it in more places around the world as well, which we'll announce soon.
Stuart Okun is a producer for An American in Paris, which begins its run at Proctor's Theater. The national tour begins at Proctor's Theater in Schenectady on Friday and runs for a week. It is October 14th through the 21st. Proctors.org for more information. Proctor's Theater in Schenectady, it's proctors.org. Stuart Okun, a great thrill to have you on the program. Best
thank
of
you.
Luck with the tour, and thank you so much for sharing with us.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.